Shabbat shalom, everyone. Well, we have been working with technical problems. At least we've got our projectors working and we are live streaming. We're just half an hour late. Sorry about that. We're doing parasha. It's actually a double parasha, so lots of readings. That's why it's awkward that we're late. And parasha 32, Baha on Mount, and parasha 33, Bukhoti. Bukhotai. Thank you. And Minister Tamar will be doing the drash, and I think we should just let's sing. Let's, Father, we just ask that you would bring your or be present now with us by your Holy Spirit and anoint this service. I ask it now in Yeshua's name, Amen. Let's sing. It is Shabbat, I think.
Shabbat, thank the Lord. It is Shabbat, thank the Lord. It is Shabbat, thank the Lord. It is Shabbat, it is Shabbat, thank the Lord. It is Shabbat, thank the Lord. It is Shabbat. Of the week, anticipate and see the first of his feast. It is Shabbat, it is Shabbat. Thank the Lord, it is Shabbat. Thank the Lord, it is Shabbat. Was given as a sign to his people for all time. Yes, a covenantal sign. It is Shabbat. It is Shabbat. Thank the Lord. It is Shabbat. World, a day of rest in his word, and sing praises to the Lord. It is Shabbat, it is Shabbat. Thank the Lord, it is Shabbat. Thank the Lord, it is Shabbat. Tells us in his word to remember and observe, to honor and delight. It is Shabbat, it is Shabbat. Thank the Lord, it is Shabbat. Thank the Lord, it is Shabbat.
Children of Israel, dance before the king with
Yeshua did. He came to set the captives free. Dance, dance, dance with your tambourine. David and the house of Israel, dance before the king. With all their soul and all their might, they dance by day and dance by night to praise the one who set them free. Yeshua did. Yeshua did. He came to set the captives free. Dance, dance, dance with your tambourine. Come and dance before the Lord. Break forth with joy and sing. With all your soul and all your might, dance by day and dance by night. Praise the one who set you free. Yeshua did. Yeshua did. He came to set the captives free. Tambourine. Miriam and the children of Israel dance before the king. With all their soul and all their might, they dance by day and dance by night to praise the one who set them free. Yeshua did. Yeshua did. He came to set the captives free. Dance, dance, dance with your tambourine. David and the of Israel dance before the king. With all their soul and all their might, they dance by day and dance by night to praise the one who set them free. Yeshua did. Yeshua did. He came to set the captives free. Dance, dance, dance with your tambourine. Come and dance before the Lord. Break forth with joy and sing. With all your soul and all your might, dance by day and dance by night. Praise the one who set you free. Yeshua did. Yeshua did. He came to set the captives free. Dance, dance, dance with your tambourine.
Come and dance.
Come and dance before the Lord. Break forth with joy and sing. With all your soul and all your might, dance by day and dance by night. Praise the one who set you free. Yeshua did. Yeshua did. He came to set the captives free. Dance, dance, dance with your tambourine. Dance, dance, dance with your tambourine. Dance, dance, dance with your tambourine.
Adonai Elohecha, b'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha, u'b'chol me'udecha, ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, b'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, And upon these two commandments stands the whole law. Love your neighbor, love your God. They are heart to heart. They are heart to heart. Adonai Elohecha, bechol levavcha, uvechol nafshecha, uvechol meudecha. They are heart to heart. Adonai Elohecha. Bechol levavcha, ubechol nafshecha, ubechol meudecha.
For Yehovah is one, and there is one mediator between Yehovah and humanity, Yeshua the Messiah, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom on behalf of us all, thus providing testimony for Yehovah's purpose at just the right time. So let's declare our unity in him by singing the Shema.
Shema Israel, Yehovah.
Ve'ahavta et Yehovah Elohecha, b'kol levavcha u'v'kol nafshecha u'v'kol me'odecha.
And you shall love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And Yeshua said, love your neighbor as yourself. All the Torah and the prophets are dependent on these two principles.
Yehovah hu Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yeshua the Messiah, he is Lord. Amen.
Please be seated. Well, I'm sorry the music was cut short, but then I'm not, because I'm the one that cut it short. We were already running half an hour late, and with a double parasha reading today, there's an awful lot of reading to go through, so we had to do that, so please forgive. So welcome to everyone who's online, especially and all those in the room, and welcome to Shona, who we haven't seen for such a long time. It's lovely to have you with us again today. Also to John in Brockville, Ontario, welcome to you, to Kathy in California, Minister Ellie Shaver in Trinidad, Tobago, to Michelle and Joshua in South Carolina, to Victoria in Qatar, Kathleen in Kentucky, also to Michael, Melinda and Michael Jr. in Florida, to Jot and Jacqueline in Cambodia, where are they now?
They're in Thailand now.
Thailand now, to Jot and Jacqueline in Thailand, Rita in Auckland, Sylvia in Bay of Plenty. Also to Heather in Perth, welcome to Annette, Chris, Michael, Diana and family, Jan, Betty and Stephen in Adelaide. Also to Katrina at Port Pirie. Welcome to Lucia in Victoria, to Ivan and Lucas in Victoria, to Linda, Leah and family in Bega, to Peter and Wendy in Sydney, Kerry and David in Tamworth, Sue in Maxville, Deborah in Casino, also to Emma in Gladstone, Cheryl and Colin in Brooklands, to Judith in Stacey in Gatton, Judith in Ipswich, Joanna at Sandstone Point, Hinani in Sandor in Fernvale, Charlene. Welcome, Charlene. I'm getting there, darling. to Usha, Isabel and Angie in Brisbane, to Jeremy in Brisbane, Ingrid in Brisbane, Richard on Russell Island, Don in Canubia, Vera at Waterford West, Tana at Waterford, Kelly in Beenleigh, Leah in Beenleigh. Also to Shana and Michaela in Jimboomba. Welcome to John on Mount Tambourine, to Tracy from Upper Coomera, to Naomi at Oxenford, Tammy at Oxenford, Robert, Susanna, Ivanka. What's that? Oh, gosh. I'll try again. To Robert, Susanna, Ivanka and Israel and Noah on Hope Island. To Yoli and Andre at Rabina. To Charlene. Hi, darling. Ciara and Bentley at Arundel. To Jeff at Service Paradise, Melissa at Service Paradise, Beryl at Southport, to Ellie Shaver and Gidget in Southport, to Marianne, Faye, Carol and Erica here on the Gold Coast, and to Devon, wherever you might be at the moment. I hope you're all better. Bless you too. So welcome to each and every one of you, and we hope you enjoy the service. Can we have the children out and we'll bless them, please? Abba Father, we thank you and praise you for our children. We pray that you make the boys like Ephraim and Menashe, that you'll give them the dew from heaven, the richness of this earth and everything they need in abundance. We lift up the girls to you, Abba, and pray that you'll make them like Sarah, Rivka, Raquel and Leah, that they'll be blessed in every area of their life, they'll delight on your Torah and meditate on it day and night. Abba, we pray that each and every one of these children become like trees planted by streams. They'll bear their fruit in its season, their leaves will never wither, and everything they do will lead to success. Let us pray together. Heavenly Abba, preserve these children for their fathers and their mothers. May they be led into a life of obedience and faith through the care of HaShem. Blessed are you, Yad of Avraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov, who watches over these precious children of your servants. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Raquel, will there be family dinner at Mishpacha this month, do you know? Next month we'll start up again. Okay, the men obviously had their dinner last Tuesday night. Ladies, it's our morning tea on Thursday. This Thursday coming, the 18th of May at the Catalina Restaurant at the Broadwater. So if you can let me know if you are coming, that would be great. Thank you. It's a normal time, 10:30. And, hopefully it'll be fine weather. That's all with that. Now, the Myanmar orphans, they receive 565,000 something Myanmar baht. It was just over half a million, out, and that was just with the $300 that we sent. So the baht obviously is not worth much money over there. Now, I don't know whether you've heard, but there's been a lot of rockets going out of Gaza into Israel. It started on Tuesday night. And Palestinian militants fired hundreds of rockets from Gaza into Israel, setting off air raid sirens in several cities. Sderot was evacuated. I've never known Sderot to be evacuated before. People were completely bussed out of Sderot and taken to hotels and places in other towns. The alarms were set off in Tel Aviv, and they were taken from Sderot to the Dead Sea hotels, which is much further inland, of course. Authorities confirmed that one home in Sderot was struck. I know there's only been one Israeli killed at this stage. Towns on the Lebanon border were also placed on high alert. Schools near Be'er Sheva, the largest city in the Negev district desert, was closed down, and the militants fired the rocket strikes in response to Israeli airstrikes. The Palestinian authorities claimed 16 Palestinians, including three senior militants and at least 10 civilians. Now, of course, when Israel kills the militants, they put them in a place which is highly populated, so that if they're in a car and they bomb the car, a lot of people get caught up in that as well, because that's what they do. It's like they fire off their rockets and their bombs from schools so that they can't fire back at the school to get them. Yeah, so I think at this stage there's only one being killed in Israel, but yeah, the rocket fire has been quite horrendous. I think there was 60 rockets fired within an hour on Wednesday into Sderot. And that, you know, they only get 2 minutes to get from their homes to the local, to the closest air raid shelter. So when you're firing off one a minute, you don't have much time to get there. So apart from Myanmar and Israel, I haven't had any other news this week. So let us pray for Yehovah's people. Abba Father, we thank you that you are Yehovah Tzevaot, the Lord Yahweh's hosts. And as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, we lift up our brothers and sisters to you this day. Abba, you faithfully preserved your people Israel through so many tribulations, especially where your children are going through, what your children are going through to this very day. But Abba, whenever your people have called on your name, you have delivered them. Violence has been perpetrated through terrorist attacks worldwide, especially in Israel, Myanmar and Ukraine. And Abba, we cry out for your protection of all your people as these conflicts continue. We thank you that you remember your covenant with your people, and we know from your word in Yechezkel that your people will live in the land which you promised your servant Yaakov, and that they will live in complete security and safety. Abba, we also know this applies to the lands your people have been dispersed into at this time, and we claim this word for them as well. Abba, we pray for your healing power on those in our congregation who are sick. We lift up John and Peggy to you, Abba, and pray that you'll continue to strengthen them in their senior years. We lift up Daryl and pray for you to continue continued healing on his heart and lungs, and also Justin and Yarek and John on their heart problems. And Abba, we just pray that Noel will have a good outcome from his tests from having his lymph glands removed because of cancer. And Abba, we just pray your hand to be upon him, that you can do a miracle in his life, and that no weapon formed against him will prosper. Abba, you've done it with Steve in Adelaide, who had stage 4 brain cancer and is now being declared cancer-free. And we pray, Abba Father, for Noel now that they have got everything and that nothing can go further through his body. Abba, we pray for your complete miraculous healing on him now in Yeshua's name. Abba, we pull down the strongholds of the enemy over this land, and we pull down the strongholds of anti-Semitism, which is increasing in diaspora. And we pray for your protection of all your people, no matter where they live on this earth. Abba, we pull down the stronghold of the enemy over the Holy Land, and we ask that you break the power of the Iran leaders, Hamas, Fatah, Hezbollah, and the Muslim Brotherhood, and we break the evil one, the power of the evil one who continues to work at wiping Israel and your people off the map. Abba, we lift up Pastor John and his family of orphans through his ministry of Adonai Child Rehabilitation in Sagaing District in Myanmar. Abba, we thank you that we have been able to support them, and we pray that you'll continue to protect them and give them the health and sustenance that they need. And also, Abba, Father, that in this heat, that they will not, our children will not get dehydrated in any way. Abba, we lift up the children who are sick at the moment and pray that those on medication will heal quickly, and that the money that was sent will go towards them, not just their food, but their medication as well. We ask this all in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Adonai, and our Saviour, who is the light of the world. Amen. So this week we are have got two parashot again. We'll be reading from Parashah 32, Baha, which is on the mount. Baha, ha is a mountain, but can be on or in. And Parashah 33, Bakukatai, is by my regulations. We'll be reading from Vayikra, Leviticus 25:1 to 27:34. And we'll be reading the Haftarah, or the prophets, from Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah 36, 6:27, and also 16:19 to 17:14. Now the Ketuvah HaShelekim, the writings of the apostles, will be read from Luke chapter 4, 16 to 21, 1 Corinthians 7, 21 to 24, Galatians 6, 7 to 10, Jochen and John 14, 15 to 21, Jochen and Aleph, or 1 John 1, 1 to 10, and Jochen and 15, 10 to 20. So let us pray for Yah's word. Baruch Ata Yehovah Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Aher Bekah Banu Mikal Ha'amin, Venatan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Ata Yehovah Natein HaTorah, B'Shem Yeshua Mashikenu Ha'or La'olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all people and given us the Torah. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen.
Yehovah spoke to Moshe on Mount Sinai. He said, "Tell the people of Israel, when you enter the land I am giving you, the land itself is to observe a Shabbat rest for Yehovah. 6 years you will sow your field. 6 years you will prune your grapevines and gather their produce. But in the seventh year is to be a Shabbat of complete rest for the land, a Shabbat for Yehovah. You will neither sow your field nor prune your grapevines. You are not to harvest what grows by itself from the seeds left by the previous harvest, and you are not to gather the grapes of your untended vine. It is to be a year of complete rest for the land. But what the land produces during the year of Shabbat will be food for all of you, you, your servant, your maid, your employee, anyone living near you, your livestock, and the wild animals on your land. Everything the land produces may be used for food. You are to count 7 Shabbats of years, 7 times 7 years, that is 49 years. Then, on the 10th day of the 7th month, on Yom Kippur, you are to sound a blast on the shofar. You are to sound the shofar all through your land, and you are to consecrate the 5th year, proclaiming freedom throughout the land to its inhabitants, and it will be a yovel for you. You will return everyone to its own land he owns, and everyone is to return to his family. That 50th year will be a Yovel for you. In that year, you are not to sow, harvest what grows by itself, or gather the grapes of unintended vines, because it is a Yovel. It will be holy for you. Whatever the fields produce will be food for all of you. In this year of Yovel, every one of you is to return to the land he owns. If you sell anything to your neighbor or buy anything from him, neither of you is to exploit the other. Rather, you are to take into account the number of years after the Yovel when you buy land from your neighbor, and he is to sell to you according to the number of years crops will be raised. If the number of years remaining is large, you will raise the price. If few years remain, you will lower it, because what he is really selling you is the number of crops to be produced. Thus, you are not to take advantage of each other, but you are to fear your Elohim, for I am Yehovah, your Elohim. Rather, you are to keep my regulations and rulings and act accordingly. If you do, you will live securely in the land. The land will yield its produce. You will eat until you have enough, and you will live there securely. If you ask, if we aren't allowed to sow seed or harvest what our land produces, what are we going to eat the seventh year? Then I will order my blessing on you during the sixth year, so that the land brings forth enough produce for all 3 years. The eighth year, you will sow seed, but eat the old, stored produce until the ninth year, that is, until the produce of the eighth year comes in. You will eat the old, stored food. The land is not to be sold in perpetuity, because the land belongs to me. You are only foreigners and temporary residents with me. Therefore, when you sell your property, you must include the right of redemption. That is, if one of you becomes poor and sells some of his property, his next of kin can come and buy back what his relative sold. If the seller has no one to redeem it, but becomes rich enough to redeem it himself, he will calculate the number of years the land was sold for, refund the excess to its buyer, and return to his property. If he hasn't sufficient means to get it back himself, then what he sold will remain in the hands of the buyer until the year of Yovel. In the Yovel, the buyer will vacate it and the seller return to his property.
If someone sells a dwelling in a walled city, he has one year after the date of sale in which to redeem it. For a full year, he will have the right of redemptions. But if he has not redeemed the dwelling in a walled city within a year, then title is perpetually passes to the buyer through all his generations. It will not revert in the Yovel. However, houses in a village not surrounded by wall are to be dealt with like the fields in the countryside. They may be redeemed and they revert in the Yovel. Concerning the city of the Levi'im and the houses in the city they possesses, the Levi'im are to have a permanent right of redemptions. If someone purchased a house from one of the Levi'im, then the house he sold in a city where he owns property will still revert to him in a Yovel. Because the house in the city of the Levi'im are their tribes' possessions among the people of Israel, the fields in the open land around their city may not be sold, because that is their permanent possessions. if a member of the of your people has become poor, so that he can't support himself among you, you are to assist him as you would a foreigner or a temporary resident, so that he can continue living with you. Do not charge him an interest or otherwise profit from him, but fear your Elohim, so that your brother can continue living with you. Do not take interest when you loan him money or take a profit when you sell him food. I am Yehovah your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt in order to give you the land of Canaan and be your Elohim. If a member of your people has become poor among you and sells himself to you, do not make him do the work of a slave. Rather, you are to treat him like an employee or a tenant. He will work for you until the year of your vow. Then he will leave you, he and his children with him, and return to his own family and regain possessions of his ancestral land. For they are my slaves, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. Therefore they are not to be sold as slaves. Do not treat him harshly, but fear your Elohim. Concerning the man and woman you might have as slave, you are to buy them. And women slaves from the nations surrounding you, you might also buy the children of the foreigner living with you. And members of their families born in your land, you may own this. You may also bequeath them to your children to own. From these groups, you may take your slaves forever. But as far as your brothers, the people of Israel, are concerned, you are not to treat each other harshly. If a foreigner living with you has grown rich, and a member of your people has become poor and sells himself to this foreigner living with you or to a member of the foreigner's family, he may be redeemed after he has been sold. One of his brother may redeem him, or his uncle, or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any near relatives of his may redeem him, or if he become rich, he might redeem himself. He will calculate with the person who brought him the time from the year he sold himself to him to the year of your vow. And the amount to be paid will be according to the number of the years and his time at an employee's wages. If many years remain, according to them will be refunded the amount of his redemptions from the amount he was brought for. If there's remain only a few years until the year of your vow, then he will calculate with him according to his years will be refunded the amount of his redemptions. He will be like a worker hired year by year. You will see to it that he is not treated harshly. If he has not been redeemed by any of these procedures, nevertheless, he will go free in the year of your vow, he and his children with him. For to me, the people of Israel are slaves. They are my slaves whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. I am Yehovah your Elohim.
You are not to make yourself any idols, erect a carved statue or a standing stone, or place any carved stone anywhere in the land in order to bow down to it. I am Yehovah, your Elohim. Keep my Shabbats and revere my sanctuary. I am Yehovah. If you live by my regulations, observe my mitzvot and obey them, then I will provide the rain you need in its season. The land will yield its produce, and the trees in the field will yield their fruit. Your threshing time will extend until the grape harvest, and your grape harvesting will extend until the time for seed sowing. You will eat as much food as you want, and live securely in your land. I will give shalom in your land. You will lie down to sleep unafraid of anyone. I will rid the land of wild animals. The sword will not go through your land. You will pursue your enemies and they will fall before your sword. 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. Your enemies will fall before your sword. I'll turn towards you, make you productive, increase your numbers, and uphold my covenant with you.
You will eat all you want from last year's harvest and throw out what remains of the old to make room for the new. I will put my tabernacle among you, and I will not reject you, but I will walk among you and be your Elohim, and you will be my people. I am Yehovah your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, so that you would not be their slaves. I have broken the bars of your yoke so that you can walk upright. But if you will not listen to me and obey all these mitzvot, if you loathe my regulations and reject my rulings in order not to obey all my mitzvot, but cancel my covenant, then I, for my part, will do this to you. I will bring terror upon you, wasting disease and chronic fever to dim your sight and sap your strength. You will sow your seed for nothing because your enemies will eat the crops. I will set my face against you. Your enemies will defeat you. Those who hate you will hound you, and you will flee when no one is pursuing you. If these things don't make you listen to me, then I will discipline you 7 times over for your sins. I will break the pride you have in your own power. I will make your sky like iron, your soil like bronze. You will spend your strength in vain because the land will not yield its produce or the trees in the field their fruit. Yes, if you go against me and don't listen to me, I will increase your calamities 7-fold according to your sins. I will send wild animals among you. They will rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and reduce your numbers until your roads are deserted. If, in spite of all this, you refuse my correction and still go against me, then I too will go against you, and I, yes I, will strike you 7 times over for your sins. I will bring a sword against you which will execute the vengeance of the covenant. You will be huddled inside your cities. I will send sickness among you, and you will be handed over to the power of the enemy. I will cut off your supply of bread, so that 10 women will bake your bread in one oven and dole out your bread by weight, and you will eat but not be satisfied. And if, for all this, you will still not listen to me, but go against me, then I will go against you ferociously, and I will also chastise you yet 7 times more for your sins. You will eat the flesh of your own sons. You will eat the flesh of your own daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your pillars for sun worship, and throw your carcasses on the carcasses of your idols, and I will detest you. I will lay waste your cities and make your sanctuaries desolate, so as not to smell your fragrant aromas. I will desolate the land so that your enemies living in it will be astounded by it. You I will disperse among the nations, and I will draw out the sword in pursuit after you. Your land will be a desolation and your cities a wasteland. Then at last the land will be paid at Shabbats. As long as it lies desolate and you are in the lands of your enemies, the land will rest and be repaid at Shabbats. Yes, as long as it lies desolate, it will have rest, the rest it did not have during your Shabbats when you lived there. As for those of you who are left, I will fill their hearts with anxiety in the lands of their enemies. The sound of a driven leaf will frighten them, so that they will flee as one flees from the sword and fall when no one is pursuing. Yes, with no one pursuing, they will stumble over each other as if fleeing the sword. You will have no power to stand before your enemies, and among the nations you will perish. The land of your enemies will devour you. Those of you who remain will pine away in the lands of your enemies from guilt over your misdeeds and those of your ancestors. Then they will confess their misdeeds and those of their ancestors which they committed against me in their rebellion. They will admit that they went against me. At that time I will be going against them, bringing them into the lands of their enemies. But if their uncircumcised hearts will grow humble, and they are paid the punishment for their misdeeds, then I will remember my covenant with Yaakov, also my covenant with Isaac, and my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land. For the land will lie abandoned without them, and it will be paid at Shabbats while it lies desolate without them. And they will be paid the punishment for their misdeeds, because they rejected my rulings and loathed my regulations. Yet in spite of all that, I will not reject them when they are in the lands of their enemies, nor will I loathe them to the point of utterly destroying them, and thus break my covenant with them. Because I am Yehovah their Elohim. Rather, for their sakes, I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt, with the nations watching, so that I might be their Elohim. I am Yehovah. These are the laws, rulings, and teachings that Yehovah himself gave to the people of Israel on Mount Sinai through Moshe. Yehovah said to Moshe, "Tell the people of Israel, if someone makes a clearly defined vow to Yehovah to give him an amount equal to the value of a human being, the value you are to assign to a man between the ages of 20 and 60 years is to be 50 shekels of silver, with the sanctuary shekel being the standard. If a woman, 30 shekels. If it is a child, 5 to 20 years old, assign a value of 20 shekels for the boy and 10 for a girl. If a baby, 1 month to 5 years of age, 5 shekels for a boy and 3 for a girl. If a person past 60, 15 shekels for a man and 10 for a woman. If the person is too poor to be evaluated, set him before the Kohen, who will assign him a value in keeping with the means of the person who made the vow. If the vow is for the value of an animal of the kind used when people bring an offering to Yehovah, all that a person gives of such animals to Yehovah will be holy. He is not to exchange or replace it by substituting a good animal for a bad one or vice versa. If he does make such a substitution, both to the original animal and the one replacing it will be holy. If the animal is an unclean one, such as may not be used in an offering to Yehovah, he must set it before the Kohen, and the Kohen is to set a value on it in relation to its good and bad points. The value set by you, the Kohen, will stand. But if a person making the vow wishes to redeem the animal, he must add 1/5 to your valuation. When a person consecrates his house to be holy for Yehovah, the Kohen is to set a value on it in relation to its good and bad points. The value set by the Kohen will stand. If the consecrator wishes to redeem his house, he must add 1/5 to the value you have set on it, and it will revert to him. If a man consecrates to Yehovah part of a field belonging to his tribe's possession, you are to value it according to its production, with 5 bushels of barley being valued at 50 shekels of silver. If he consecrates his field during the year of Yovel, this valuation will stand. But if he consecrates his field after the Yovel, then the Kohen is to calculate the price according to the years remaining till the next Yovel, with a corresponding reduction from your valuation. If the one consecrating the field wishes to redeem it, he must add 1/5 to your valuation, and the field will be set aside to revert to him. If the seller does not wish to redeem the field, or if he has already sold the field to someone else, it can no longer be redeemed. But when the purchaser has to vacate the field in the Yovel, it will become holy to Yehovah, like a field unconditionally consecrated. It will belong to the Kohanim. If he consecrates to Yehovah a field which he has brought, a field which is not part of his tribe's possession, then the Kohen is to calculate its value according to the years remaining unto the year of the Yovel, and the man will on that same day pay this amount, since it is holy to Yehovah. In the year of Yovel, the field will revert to the person from whom it was bought, that is, to the person to whose tribal possession it belongs. All your valuations are to be according to the sanctuary shekel, 20 gerahs to the shekel. However, the firstborn among animals, since it is already born as a firstborn for Yehovah, no one can consecrate, neither ox nor sheep, since it belongs to Yehovah already. But if it is an unclean animal, he may redeem it at the price at which you value it and add 1/5. Or if he does not redeem it, it is to be sold at the price at which you value it. However, nothing consecrated unconditionally, which a person may consecrate to Yehovah out of all he owns, person, animal, or field he possesses, is to be sold or redeemed, because everything consecrated unconditionally is especially holy to Yehovah. No person who has been sentenced to die and thus unconditionally consecrated can be redeemed. He must be put to death. All the tenth given from the land, whether from planted seed or fruit from trees, belongs to Yehovah. It is holy to Yehovah. If someone wants to redeem any of his tenth, he must add to it 1/5.
or the tenth of the herd of the flock, whatever passes under the shepherd's crook, the tenth will be holy to Jehovah. The owner is not to inquire whether the animal is good or bad. He cannot exchange it, for if he does exchange it, both it and the one substituted for it will be holy. It cannot be redeemed. These are the mitzvot which Jehovah gave to Moshe for the people of Israel on Mount Sinai. Yirmiyahu said, "The word of Jehovah came to me. Hamiel, the son of your uncle Shalum, will approach you and say, 'Buy a field at Anot. You have the next of kin right to redeem it, so buy it. As Jehovah has said, my cousin Hamiel came to me in the guard's quarters and said, "Please buy the field at Anatot in the territory of Benjamin, because you will inherit it, and you have a next of kin right to redeem it. So buy it for yourself." Then I was certain that this was Jehovah's word. So I bought the field from Anatot, which belonged to my cousin Hamiel, and weighed out the money for him, 7 ounces of silver shekels. I signed on the purchase contract that sealed it, called witnesses, and weighed out the money for him on a balance scale. I took the purchase contract, both the sealed copy, which the terms and conditions, and the unsealed copy, and gave the purchase contract to Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Machashiah, in the presence of my cousin Hamniel. The witnesses who had signed the purchase contract and the people from Yehuda sitting by the guard's quarters. In their presence, I instructed Baruch the followings. Here's what Jehovah Zevaot, the Elohim of Israel, says. Take these contracts, both the sealed and unsealed copies, and place them in a clay jar so they can be preserved for a long time. For Jehovah Zevaot, the Elohim of Israel, says that one day homes, fields, and vineyards will again be brought in the land. After giving the purchase contract to Baruch, son of Neriah, I prayed to Jehovah. Jehovah Elohim, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You display your grace to the thousands, but also repay the guilt of the fathers into the lap of their children who follow them. Great and powerful Elohim, whose name is Jehovah Zevaot, great in counsel, mighty indeed, your eyes are open to all the ways of human beings in order to repay each one according to his ways, according to the consequences of what he does. You gave signs and performed miracles in the land of Egypt, which continue to this day. Also in Israel among other people. Thus, you make yourself the reputation you have today. You brought your people of Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and miracles, with strong hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror. Then you gave them this land, which you have sworn to their ancestors that you would give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. They entered and took possession of it, but they did not pay attention to your voice and did not live according to your Torah and did nothing of all you ordered them to do. Therefore, you made this complete disaster befall on them. The siege works are already there. They have come to the city to capture it. The city, by means of sword, famine, and plague, is being handed over to the Chasdim fighting against it. What you foretold is being fulfilled. Here you see it yourself. Yet you, Jehovah Elohim, have said to me, buy a field for money and call witnesses, even as the city is being turned over to the Chasdim. When this word of Jehovah came to Yirmiyahu, look, I am Jehovah, the Elohim of every living creature. Is there anything too hard for me?
Jeremiah 16. Jehovah, my strength, my fortress, my refuge in time of trouble, the nations will come to you from the ends of the earth, saying, our ancestors inherited nothing but lies, future idols completely useless. Can a person make himself gods? In fact, they aren't gods at all. Therefore, I will make them know once and for all, I will make them know my power and my might, and they will know that my name is Yehovah. Yehuda's sin is written with an iron pen, With the diamond point it is engraved on the tablet of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. As they remember their children, so they remembered their altar, they remember their altars and their sacred poles by the green trees on their hill, on high hills. My mountain is the field, your wealth and your all your treasure will be plundered because of the sin of your high places throughout your territory. You will relinquish your hold on your heritage, which I gave you. I will make you serve your enemies in a land you do not know, for you have kindled my fiery anger, and it will burn forever. Here is what Yehovah says: a curse on the persons who trust in humans, who relies on merely human strength, whose heart turns away from Yehovah. He will be like the tamarisk in the Arava. When relief comes, it is unaffected, for it lives in the sun, baked desert in salty, uninhabited land. Blessed is the man who trusts in Yehovah. Yehovah will be his security. He will be like a tree planted near water. It spreads out its roots by the river. It does not notice when heat comes or its foliage in luxuriant. Yeah, that one too. It is not anxious in a year of drought, but keeps on yielding fruit. The heart is more deceitful than anything else and more mortally sick. Who can fathom it? I, Yehovah, search the heart. I test inner motivations in order to give to everyone what his actions and conduct deserve. A partridge hatches eggs it did not lay. Like this are those who get rich unjustly. In the prime of life, their wealth will desert them. In the end of their will, prove to be fools. Throne of glory, exalted from the beginning, our holy sanctuary. Hope of Israel, Yehovah, who abandon you, all who abandon you will be ashamed. Those who leave you will be inscribed in the dust because they have abandoned Yehovah, the source of living water. Heal me, Yehovah, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. Wow, that's a good one. Luke 4:16. Now when he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up on Shabbat, he went to the Knesset, we say the K, as usual. He stood up to read, and he was given the scroll of the prophets Yeshayahu. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of Yehovah is upon me. Therefore he has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the imprisoned and renewed sight for the blind, to release those who have been crushed, to proclaim a year of the favor of Yehovah." After closing the scroll and returning to its shamash, he sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the Knesset were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this Keterai you've just heard is fulfilled."
First Corinthians 7:21-24. Were you a slave when you were called? Well, don't let it bother you. Although, if you can gain your freedom, take advantage of your opportunity. For a person who was a slave when he was called is Jehovah's freed man. Likewise, someone who was a freed man when he was called is a slave of the Messiah. You were brought at a price, so do not become slaves of other human beings. Brothers, let each one remain with Elohim in the condition in which he was called.
Don't delude yourselves. No one makes a fool of Elohim. A person reaps what he sows. Those who keep sowing in the field of their old nature, in order to meet its demand, will eventually reap ruin. But those who keep sowing in the field of the Spirit will reap from the Spirit of everlasting life. So let us not grow weary of doing what is good. For if we don't give up, we will in due time reap the harvest. Therefore, as the opportunity arises, let us do what is good to everyone, and especially to the family of those who are trustingly faithful.
John 14:15-21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I shall request from my Father, and he will give you another comforting counselor like me, the Spirit of Truth, to be with you forever. The world cannot receive him, because it has neither sees nor knows him. You know him, because he is staying with you, and you will be united with him. I will not leave you orphans, I am coming to you. In just a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live too. When that day comes, you know that I am united with my Father, and you with me, and I with you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him.
First Yochanan 1:1-10. The Word, which gives life. He existed from the beginning. We have heard him, we have seen him with our eyes, we have contemplated him, we have touched him with our hands. The life appeared, and we have seen it. We are testifying to it and announcing it to you, eternal life. He was with the Father, and he appeared to us. What we have seen and heard, we are proclaiming to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Yeshua, the Messiah. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And this is the message which we have heard from him and proclaim to you. Elohim is light, and there is no darkness in him, none. If we claim to have fellowship with him while we are walking in the darkness, we are lying and not leaving out the truth. But if we are walking in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of his Son Yeshua purifies us from all sin. If we claim not to have sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we acknowledge our sins, then since he is trustworthy and just, he will forgive them and purify us from all wrongdoing. If we claim we have not been sinning, we are making him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Yochanan 15:10-12. If you keep my commands, you will stay in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and stay in his love. I have said this to you, so that my joy may be in you and your joy be complete. This is my command, that you keep on loving each other, just as I have loved you.
Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher natan lanu Torah emet v'chayim b'dikeinu. Baruch atah Yehovah natein ha'Torah, b'shem Yeshua Mashiachenu ha'or la'olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. So yes, that was a long reading, and today I'm only going to be looking at the Torah from the Baha message, from the Baha scriptures, and I want to look at the year of Yovel, because that to me is an amazing year. And I've titled my message, "The Kingdom of the Land Shall Not Be Sold Forever," or "Not Be Sold for Perpetuity." And I know it's a double parashot, but I just want to concentrate on Yovel, because it's a really important year, and it to me is something that is often hard to grasp the concept of it. So I want to go through that pretty thoroughly today. So if we can go to the slide 2, please, for Vayikra 25:8-10. It says, "You are to count 7 Shabbats of years, 7 times 7 years, that is 49 years. Then on the 10th day of the 7th month on Yom Kippur, you are to sound a blast on the shofar. You are to sound the shofar all through your land. And you are to consecrate the 50th year, proclaiming freedom throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It will be a yovel for you. You will return everyone to the land he owns, and everyone is to return to his family." And in verses 23 to 28 of the same chapter, it says, "The land is not to be sold into perpetuity or forever, because the land belongs to me," who is Yehovah. "You are only foreigners and temporary residents with me. Therefore, when you sell your property, you must include the right of redemption. That is, if one of you becomes poor and sells some of his property, his next of kin can come back and buy what his relative sold. If the seller has no one to redeem it, but becomes rich enough to redeem it himself, he will calculate the number of years the land was sold for, refund the excess to its buyer, and return to his property. If he hasn't sufficient means to get it back, then what he sold will remain in the hands of the buyer until the year of Yovel. In the Yovel, the buyer will vacate it and the seller return to his property." And further down in verses 35 to 44, it says, "A member of your people have become poor, so that he can't support himself among you. You are to assist him as you would be a foreigner or a temporary resident, so that he can continue living with you. Do not charge him interest or otherwise profit from him, but fear your Elohim, so that your brother can continue living with you. Do not take interest when you loan him money, or take a profit when you sell him food. I am Yehovah your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt in order to give you the land of Canaan and be your Elohim. If a member of your people has become poor among you and sells himself to you, do not make him do the work of a slave. Rather, you are to treat him as an employee or a tenant. He will work for you until the year of Yovel. Then he will leave you, he, his children with him, and return to his own family and regain his possession of his ancestral land. For they are my slaves, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. Therefore they are not to be sold as slaves. Do not treat him harshly, but fear your Elohim. Concerning the men and women, concerning the men and the women you may have as slaves, you are to buy men and women slaves from the nation surrounding you." So they could buy slaves from people around them, like the Canaanite or the Hittite or the Yavusi, whoever, but they couldn't use their own people as slaves. So going back to verse 23, Well, we said the land is not to be sold in perpetuity or forever, because the land belongs to me. You are only foreigners and temporary residents with me. Well, that applies to us too. Even though, you know, we are in this world, not of this world, we are only here as temporary residents. And that's why we have to look at ourselves as being in the world and not of the world. This chapter, to me, speaks about the year of Avel, but also about redemption, which is getting a possession back again that belongs to us. Vayikra teaches that a special year of the 25 teaches that a special year of Yovel, of which many of you might know as Jubilee, and it occurred every 50 years, twice a century. How can it be twice a century? Wouldn't it lead into the next century? Not the way it's calculated. Jubilee or Yovel is actually an Jubilee is as an anglicised word, and transliterated from the Hebrew into English. And the actual Hebrew word is Yovel, and that's why we use it. Yovel was also how the Hebrews described the blasting of the trumpet during the 50th year. And remember, on Yom Kippur, on the 50th year, they were to blow the Yovel. When does the 50th year begin? Anyone give me a date? Well, I'd say that the 50th year will begin on the first day of Aviv that's coming up after the Yovel. So they've got 6 months to prepare the land and to sow the crops, get everything ready, so that they've got plenty there to be able to harvest for and keep going for that 50th year. They're not going to just all of a sudden say, this is the 50th year, now whatever's there's whatever's left, because they just finished a harvest. So the 50th year will actually start. The Yovel has to be blown, the shofar has to be blown all around the land, and it's not going to be blown on one day, even though they start it on Yom Kippur. So it's always at the beginning, not at the end. When we, in our anglicised world, when we have a birthday and our children will tell us, I'm turning 10 or I'm turning 11 or I'm turning something, they're actually not. They've already lived the whole 10 years before they become 10. And that's not counting what was in the womb. So they're in their 10th year. Once they've turned 9, they're already in their 10th year. So that's how the biblical world works it, where we celebrate a birthday at the end of the year. After you've done one full year on the earth, now you're one. Okay? But the biblical year is slightly different. So the lands and even the Israeli people that are sold return to the original owners. Yehovah said that the land should not be sold forever. Yah originally gave them the land of Canaan, and he would not let them lose it. He actually said it was his land. It wasn't their land, it was his land. So they were more or less boarders staying with him, sojourners and strangers, as we might call them today. We are not meant to live permanently on this earth. That's not Yah's dream. We are to live permanently and eternity with him. And that's why we are temporary residents on this earth. So they weren't to sell it, since it was not really their own land to sell anyway. But there is always the thought that Yah does not give blessings, but only to see people lose them. Yehovah made sure of that by the security of the Yovel. And through the Yovel, we get redemption. Redemption of the land, redemption of the slave, back to the time when you were struck with poverty or for some reason you had to sell. Then the buyer had to understand that you were able to receive it back again. That was how it was sold, under that understanding. Can you imagine people having to give up homes because of dire straits today with the interest levels that are going up and things that are happening? That they can look back and think, oh, that's okay, because in so many years' time I'll be able to get that back. We can't do that today. But they could then. And they would wait until the year of Yovel and they'd have it returned to them for free. The same occurred with people who were sold. But Yehovah would not allow a buyer of a person to think the person was their slave. They would be treated as a tenant. They were all had already been slaves in Egypt and they were brought out of bondage when they went into the land. They could not be ruled over with severity as they had by the Egyptians. They would be regarded as hired servants and they would return home in the year of Yovel. In Vayikra, Leviticus 25:39-44, it says, if a member of your people has become poor among you and sells himself, you are not to make him do the work of a slave. Rather, you are to treat him like an employee or a tenant. He will work for you until the year of Yovel. Then he will leave you and his children with him and return to his own family and regain possession, get the redemption, of his ancestral land. For they are my slaves who I brought out of the land of Egypt. Therefore they are not to be sold as slaves. Do not treat them harshly, but fear your Elohim. Concerning the men and women you may have as slaves, you are to buy men and women slaves from the nations surrounding them. So they could do whatever they wanted with those people, but not with their own. Therefore, any of the old servants and the sold land lost due to poverty were all restored in the year of Yovel. Yeshua himself picked up on this and spoke of it in a spiritual sense at the very start of his ministry, when we read in our Ketuvot Shelekim readings earlier from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21 this afternoon. It said, Yeshua returned to the Galilee in the power of the Ruach, and the reports about him spread throughout the countryside. He taught in their Knessets or synagogues, and everyone respected him. And then he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. On Shabbat, he went to the Knesset we read today, or synagogue as usual. He stood up to read, and he was given the scroll of the prophet Yeshayahu. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written, the Ruach of Yehovah is upon me. Therefore he has anointed me to announce good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the imprisoned and renewed the sight of the blind, to release those who have been crushed, to proclaim a year of favour of Yehovah. And after closing the scroll and returning it to the Shemash, he sat down and the eyes of everyone in the Knesset were fixed on him. He started to speak to them. Today, as you have heard it read, this passage of the Tanakh was fulfilled. He said that he was to proclaim a year of favour of Yehovah. That is a year of Yovel. That is the year of favour, when everything is returned. This was a statement Yeshua made in reference to Yovel. The day was Yehovah's acceptance of time for the year of Yehovah to come. And this statement of Yeshua is actually saying that the entire messianic age of the kingdom of Yehovah is like one long year of Yovel that began when he came and started ministering here on this earth. The gospel of good news would be preached to the poor. It was the poor who were sold as servants. It was the poor who sold their lands in the days of the Tanakh. But there were also those who were spiritually poor, who were sold under sin, and they still exist today as well. Adam sold us all out the ultimate return to the original ownership, is getting us back to the state Adam had been in before he fell in the Garden of Eden, or the Gan Eden. The ultimate Yovel is returning to Yehovah's kingdom and to his glory. Adam fell, Adam's fall made us all sinners. He sold us all. As a result, people are brokenhearted. We are captives. We are blind. We are bruised. And speaking out a revelation is always indicated by the sounding of a shofar or trumpet. In Yeshayahu, Isaiah 58, verse 1a, it says, "Shout out loud, don't hold back. Raise your voice like a shofar." See, I didn't make it up. It's in the scripture. And that is why we read Yeshua's voice sounding like that shofar or trumpet right throughout the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, it says, or Yochanan says, "I came to be in the Ruach on the day of Yehovah," which is the day of Shabbat, "and I heard behind me a loud voice like a shofar." And further down in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "After these things I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice like a shofar, which I heard speaking with me, said before said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after these things." When you read these two verses in the English Bible, they say trumpet. In the Hebrew text, it's definitely written shofar or a ram's horn. And I always check the English. I always check the Hebrew when I read the scriptures, whether I'm reading them in the Old Testament or the New Testament. I check the scriptures to see what the actual word is. Are they saying Elohim for God? Are they saying Yehovah? Are they saying trumpet, shofar, and vice versa? So the Hebrew text is definitely written shofar, a ram's horn used for the long blast. There's our ram's horn. We are so blessed to have a ram's horn. We are so blessed to have someone who can blow a ram's horn. And Minister Malachy has been doing it for 25 years now, and he does it quite well. Now, for that ram's horn to exist, a ram had to be sacrificed. The ram had to be killed so that we could have a ram's horn. Yeshua is the lamb. Yeshua is the lamb that was slain from the foundation of this very world. We are blasting a long message through the death of Yeshua HaMashiach. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach. When Yeshua was revealed in Luke and introduced himself by speaking to the congregation in the synagogue, he began by reading about how his coming fulfilled the year of Yovel. This was the one message amongst all the messages that he could have started out with. The message with which he could start out would be the most significant message of his entire ministry. And it just so happened to be a year of Yovel message. Yeshua was actually speaking on the Yovel of Yovelim, or Jubilee of Jubilees. That it was a real Yovel. He was speaking how people would return to the state that Yehovah placed us in the way back in Adam's time when Yah placed Adam in the Gan Eden, with blessings and dominion and everlasting life. But we were sold. So the entire Ketuvah Shelakim, or New Testament, is simply the proclamation that everything mankind lost when he was sold under sin in the days of Adam is restored once again. The Yovel instructions in the Torah are about people and lands, and said that the land would be bought back and redeemed. In Vayikra, Leviticus 25, verse 48, it says, "He may be redeemed after he has been sold, one of his brothers may redeem him. But if something cannot be redeemed by money, then it will wait until the year of Yovel and then return anyway. In Matityahu chapter 18, we see the Yovel principle. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but paraphrase it for you. A man was owed myriads of talents to a master, or talents or silver, probably insurmountable millions of dollars in our money today. So he couldn't pay him back. The Lord or master forgave the man as though a year of Yovel had occurred. And likewise, we cannot pay back the price we owe for our sins. It was too much. We owe a debt we could not pay. We needed someone to wash away our sins. And only Yeshua could do that. Every time someone shares the gospel message, the shofar of Yovel sounds, calling the listener, time to come back to Eden or Eden. In other words, get eternal life that Adam was once able to obtain through the tree of life, through faith. Silver was always associated with redemption. Hence, silver trumpets were ordered to be made during the making of the tabernacle and all its instruments. Also, you will recall that it was 30 pieces of silver that Yehuda Iscariot was paid for Yeshua to be taken and crucified. And his crucifixion paid the price to redeem us. His blood was sacrificed for our redemption. Just like the lamb's blood was sacrificed for the shofar to be in existence, Yeshua's blood was our redemption. And it still is to this very day. And what is interesting is the 50th in Hebrew. The 50th in Hebrew is our festival coming up called Shavuot. Seven of sevens. Or seven times seven. The day of Shavuot will be on the 28th of this month, which is 50 days after the Shabbat following the Feast of First Fruits, which is actually the day straight after Yeshua's crucifixion and the day he rose from the grave. So it always starts, always happens after Shabbat. So it doesn't matter where in that Pesach week Shabbat falls, it always starts on the Sunday after that first Shabbat, which means that Yeshua rose on the first day of the week, so that's when the first count starts for Shavuot. And that's how Shavuot is calculated, by seven times seven of that day of the first day after I'll get it out, Pesach. Then you count seven sevens, which gets you to the 49, which will bring you to a Shabbat. But the next day, the 50th day, is Shavuot. Shavuot is never, ever a specific date. It's always the first day of a week, because the way it's calculated. It will always fall on our Sunday. But the year of Yovel is the 50th year, which is equivalent to the Shabbats, but in years. And it's also the first year of the next count. So when you've got 49 years, the 50th year is your Yovel year, but it's also the first year of the next count. And that's how you get to Yevelim in one year, one of our years, in one century. I've already shown you where Yeshua referred to the entire gospel age as the year of Yehovah, So the entire gospel age is actually a Shavuot age, or as Christians call it, Pentecostal age, because they take it from the Greek. Never meant to be a Pentecostal denomination. We were always meant to be one. But it's a Shavuot age. It's an age of redemption experience. It's the experience that occurred in Acts chapter 2. Yehovah wants every person, every denomination, to have the Shavuot experience of redemption and being able to and being immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh. If we go to Acts 2, verse 39, it says, "For the promise is for you, for your children, and for those far away, as many as Yehovah your Elohim may call." And in verse 4 of Acts 2, it says, "They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to talk in different languages as the Ruach enabled them to speak." As you all know, there's a weekly seventh-day Shabbat, that's today, or Sabbath, that occurs every 7 days, the seventh day of the week. In Hebrew, it's counted Yom Rishon, Yom Rivi'i, Yom Shlishi, and it goes on to the Yom Shishi on the sixth, and Shabbat is the seventh. It's not Yom Shavuot or Shavuot. It's Shabbat for the seventh day, if you were counting the days in Hebrew. Shabbat is a special day. It was a day of a day of rest. It was a high holy day. And because it also applies to the 50th day. And it will always fall on the first day of the week, the 50th day. So you've got two whole holy days side by side. There were always seventh year Shabbatot. The seventh year was when the land was meant to be rested. Okay, so the land was rested on the seventh year. Every 7 years was a Shabbat rest for the soil, so it could regenerate. The entire year prohibited anyone from planting or reaping anything in the ground except for taking food, and that was then considered common for everyone to take freely. No owner of the land could restrict the food on his land for himself, and the manner in which the people survived was by Yah blessing the land in the sixth year to produce enough for the next 3 years. The next 3 years is the seventh year, the year of planting, then waiting for the harvest. So it was 3 years when they had an ordinary Shabbat year of rest. So they were not to plant and reap in the eighth year in which they would start planting again. They would still eat from that sixth year's planting. But when we read in Vayikra Leviticus 25, 4 and 5, it says, "But in the seventh year is to be a Shabbat of complete rest for you, a Shabbat of Yehovah. You will neither sow your field nor prune your grapevines. You are not to harvest what grows by itself from the seeds left by your previous harvest, and you are not to gather grapes from your unattended vine. It is a year of complete rest of the land." And further down in Leviticus, or Vayikra, verses 20 to 22, it says, "If you ask, if we aren't allowed to sow seed or harvest what our land produces, what are we going to eat in the seventh year? Then I will order my blessing on you during the sixth year so that the land brings forth enough produce for 3 years. The eighth year you will sow your seed but eat the old, the stored produce, and until the ninth year, that is until the produce of the eighth year comes in, and you will eat the old stored food." So Yehovah made it so that he would provide for them as long as they obeyed his mitzvot and his commands. Now, what happened after every 7 years? They have a Shavuot year or a Yovel year. So there was a second 2 years in a row of non-planting. In Vayikra 25, 11 and 12, it says, "The 50th year will be a Yovel for you. In that year you are not to sow, harvest what grows by itself, or gather the grapes of unattended vines, because it is the ovil. It will be holy for you. Whatever the fields produce will be food for all of you. So these are the same laws for the Yovel year, which is the eighth year, as it was for the ordinary Shabbat year. So now watch this. How many Shabbatot between each year of Yovel? Seven. Oh, between each year of Yovel is 49 years, sorry. You are to count seven Shabbats of years. Seven times seven. That's 49 years. So between each Yovel was 7 years Shabbat years. 49 years would bring you to the 50th year for a Shavuot year. So there would be seven Shabbat years, each year allowing you no sowing or reaping. And the last Shabbat year, or the 50th year, also you had no Shabbat reaping or sowing or sowing seeds. So it's a 50th year, are two Shabbat years in a row. That's a stretch, isn't it? 4 years without planting? 4 years. That takes a lot of faith to be able to say, hey, we can't do this, but this is what Yah commanded. It meant that there was going to be a double portion. The seventh Shabbat year plus the next 50th year of Yovel, 2 years in a row of no sowing or reaping, double portions are significant within the scriptures. The firstborn son always received a double portion of land compared to all the other sons in the man's family. Of course, the girls received nothing. Elisha asked for a double portion of Eliyahu's anointing and power, and Eliyahu told him if he would see Eliyahu ascend. Elisha saw it, and the mantle of anointing fell on him. In Acts chapter 1, the apostles saw Yeshua ascend into heaven as Elisha saw Eliyahu, and went to Jerusalem, and the anointing of the Ruach HaKodesh fell on them, and they received power and did things greater than what Yeshua ever did. So they got a double portion. The apostles preached about Yeshua the day they spoke with tongues, but it was foretold the people would not listen. Many will not listen to the Yovel message of deliverance and redemption, but those who will return to the place where Yah first put man in the Garden of Eden. That was in the garden for them to receive. What was in the garden for them to receive? It was a tree of life. I wear my tree of life all the time. It's around my neck and it's on my Torah, my shawl. Because to me, the tree of life is just so important. Our aim should always be to be where the tree of life is. Adam could have eaten from the tree of life when he was in Gan Eden, but he chose the tree of good and evil instead. But he wanted the knowledge of good and evil. If only he'd chosen the tree of eternal life, then he would have got the knowledge of good and evil anyway. But he didn't choose the tree of life. Yehovah's Torah says that what Yehovah gives cannot be lost forever. The gospel truth is that Yeshua HaMashiach was slain from the foundation of the world. He knew before he was even born into this world as a human being that he would be born to be slain. Before Adam ever sinned, there was a salvation plan already set in place to redeem man again. It took into account Adam's sin. In other words, man would not be lost forever. Yehovah would make sure that part of mankind would come back. There would be a remnant. Yehovah always had a remnant plan in place. We saw the example with Noah. Then, when his people were taken and destroyed and captured, he always made sure some were left to continue on. Whether they were taken off to Babylon or whether they were destroyed in 70 AD and what happened. Many died, never returned, but there was always a remnant that stood in place of the whole group that did return. The Torah observant Messianic community is the remnant of humanity that Yehovah brings back to himself today. And the reason it's the Torah observant ones that are the remnant is because we have to obey Yehovah's mitzvot. We cannot get back into the Garden of Eden or Gan Eden and to be in the presence of Yehovah without being Torah obedient. But there's also the redemption of anything in the land of Canaan that Yehovah gave to us. Spiritually speaking, Canaan is our kingdom realm of blessing from Yehovah. And while we are in Canaan with blessings, we may grow poor and lose a blessing Yah gave to us. Yah said that the land or the blessing is not sold forever. He made provision through redemption and Yovel to ensure that it returns. How many of you have once had a blessing from Yah but lost it due to spiritual poverty? How many of you had the joy of Yehovah or the dance in the Ruach or liberty or even a ministry or a gift of the Ruach and the gifts and the calling just disappeared? Yah does not repent over giving you a gift. The land of Canaan was a gift to Israel, but they did not work for it. And so are the things I mentioned above. Canaan's land stood for our spiritual blessings, and they will not be sold forever. If you have sold these out for any reason at all, Yehovah has ensured that they will always be able to return one day. One day there will be such a great Yovel that we have never known. Such things that were lost could be redeemed at a price. However, when we look at it from a different angle, in Hebrews Messianic or Messianic Jews chapter 6, it says that what we have now in the Messianic age is a mere taste of the world to come. It's a mere taste. You can just have a little taste now. What's coming later, I can't wait for. I feel sad for my mother, who's 102 but still too scared to die. And yet, me, I can't wait. It sounds crazy, doesn't it? But I can't wait to be in Yah's presence. In Vayikra, Leviticus 25, 26 and 27, it says that the seller has no one to redeem it, but becomes rich enough to redeem it himself. He will calculate the number of years the land was sold for, refund the excess to its buyer, and return to his property. And one day, if you continue to serve Yeshua faithfully and in a holy manner, the resurrection will see us, each and every one of us, enter glory in new bodies. You will have joy unspeakable. You will have the chance to dance in the Ruach. And you will have ever whatever it was that slipped away from under Yeshua's redemption. But if you can garner the price before that special year of Yovel arrives, you can get those things now before the Yovel comes. Redemption is always paid for by the blood of Yeshua. In Kefer Aleph, or 1 Peter 1, verses 18 to 19, it says, you should be aware that the ransom paid to free you from the worthless way of life which your fathers passed on to you did not consist of anything perishable like silver or gold. On the contrary, it was a costly sacrificial death of the Messiah as a lamb without defect or spot. And in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9 it says, "And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals, because you were slaughtered. At the cost of blood you ransomed for Yehovah persons from every tribe, language, people and nation." You, everyone sitting here, everyone listening online, can redeem all that you have lost by the blood of Yeshua. But what does that mean? You become spiritually poor by losing your faith. Maybe you lost sight of yourself and you being one, Yeshua being one with you. The blood of Yeshua paid for you to be saved and redeemed. And he redeemed you to Yehovah. And when you lose faith and you give in to doubts, you slip away from the victory you had. It could be a crisis of peril in your walk where something happened to cause you to forget about faith and forget about Yah and forget about every blessing that you ever had until you sold your dance and your blessings out. You can get it back, and you can get it back now. You don't have to wait for the glory of Yahweh. You can redeem it this very day. Using the blood simply means that you have faith that because you are a believer in Yeshua's stake, where he shed his blood, then you claim whatever you have lost that is part of his blessings. Kingdom living is for now. We don't have to wait for the time, whether it's a Yovel year or whenever it is. We can have it now. We don't have to wait until we can return to be with him. Once we live according to his word, according to his Torah, and let go of the things of the world. Because once we hang on to the things of the world, we are slaves to the world. We are slaves to no one. We have been redeemed. Can we all say amen to that? So that you can live in your Yovel year. Any questions? No, well, we'll move on to the remembrance service. "Here the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by their hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, for they for their part violated my covenant, even though I for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I will put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim and they will be my people. Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, HaMotz Elokim Me'en HaAretz. Amen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. Yehovah Sabaoth, how happy is anyone who trusts in you. Give victory, Yehovah. Let the King answer us the day we call. I will take the cup of redemption and call upon the name Yehovah.
Cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I call Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Pri HaGafen.
Him, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Minei Besameim.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the various spices.
Now time to come and take some challah. Beautiful challah that's been homemade. Now the bread that's there today is gluten-free sourdough, for those that need gluten-free bread. So come and take some challah or bread, smell the spices, I add some salt to the bread, because you are the salt of the earth. Take a cup and we'll eat and drink together. And as you know, that the offering box is down the back. If you can help to support the ministry in helping to run it, we will appreciate it abundantly. Thank you. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you that we can come each Shabbat and spend time in your presence. We give you the glory for your word. We thank you for the scriptures that show us just how we have been redeemed and how you never meant for us to live on this earth for eternity. That you never meant for us to have everything that we have for eternity, but to have eternity with you and start our Yovel year from the time that we have been redeemed. Abba, we just give you the glory for Yeshua, who laid down his life and became the sacrificial lamb with his blood spilled on the mercy seat in heaven. And we take these emblems which represent his body and his blood, and we give you the glory that we can now have no fear in death. We can look towards what's coming in the future and know that our eternity, our perpetuity will be with you. And we take these hymns now in remembrance of everything that Yeshua has done for us and give you the glory. Amen. Let's eat and drink together. Malachi will now come and say the Aharonic blessing in Hebrew, and I'll repeat it in English.
Yevareka ka. Yehovah Yishmereka. Yeh Yehovah Panavaleka. Vihruneka. Isa Yehovah Panavaleka. Viasamaka Shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace. Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you for the joy and rest which we are enjoying on this Shabbat day. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement. And like the fragrance of the Besamim, we pray the days ahead bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the peace which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week. And now to the one who can keep you from falling and set you without defect, full of joy in the presence of his Shekinah. To Yehovah alone, our deliverer, through Yeshua the Messiah, our Adonai, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, before all time, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Tamar. Another great message. That was, another great message. Sorry for our late start, but we were having trouble getting the projectors running, tried all sorts of combinations, and eventually went back to what we normally do, and it all worked. It was just, isn't that the way? So, bless you all. Thank you for being with us, and have a wonderful week.
And children, make sure you spoil your mothers tomorrow, please. Have a great week, Shavua Tov, everyone.
give us peace where the road is hard. In Sabbath prayers, we know you're there. So when the Sabbath candles fade, we go to work and we're not afraid. You will sustain us until that day when the candles burn again. Shavuot, Shavuot, Yeshua's Lord, and He loves us so. He'll keep His word, He will return. Shabbat Shalom. And Shavuot. Like an oasis in the sand, You shelter us with Your holy hand. The waters from your spring and praise you, mighty King. So pour the wine and pass the spice. Abdallah time is drawing nigh. We thank you, Lord, for the Sabbath time and all the peace it brings. Shavuot, Shavuot. Yeshua's Lord, and He loves us so. He'll keep His word, He will return. Shabbat Shalom and Shavuot Tov. We raise the cup of salvation, and stand upon Your mighty word. Baruch Hashem, O God of creation, blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Yeshua's Lord, and He loves us so. He'll keep His word, He will return. Shabbat Shalom and Shavuot Tov. Shavuot Tov, Shavuot Tov. Yeshua's Lord, and He loves us so. He'll keep His word, He will return. Shabbat Shalom and Shavuot Tov. Shavuot.